This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at Pod Bay 2A in the Alpha Centauri region, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your brain with rejuvenative radio waves to a toasty and tasty 325 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm.
I'm your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean. Can you feel it, Diana Kyler? Can you feel it? Can you feel it warming your brain?
Yes,
yeah. We can talk over each other, too. We're talking over each other.
Warm.
We can actually talk over each other because we're talking on
Fiend
Phone.
I can't believe that. What?
Fiend Phone. Because if this was Skype.
Fiend Phone.
If this were Skype or a telephone call, it'd be like cutting each other off.
Yeah.
So it is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
And you're, thanks, same to you.
And your beau is going to join us for a segment at some point, but he's going to have to be cheek to cheek with you because you guys don't have a mixer and you're sharing one mic and one set of headphones. But it'll be even more romantic and kind of an experiment in radio. Oh, I'm sure this has been done before, but not on the Fiends where We're one host. It'll be more like a man on the street interview. Like you're the reporter out there with the headphones, and the earpiece, and the microphone, and talking to him. And you know, the man on the street can't hear what's in the headset. So,
so can't hear all the explicatives that you're hurling at him.
Explicatives. Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist, and his feet stink. We like to get that out of the way on every show because we.
And he's bad at golf.
Is he? I don't know what this means.
I don't know.
I pay so little attention to public affairs. And, you know, some people would say that makes me bad for radio or do bad radio. But I think it makes me do good radio because I don't get hung up. Because all the stuff that comes up is like same book, different chapter. And most radio shows spend all their time just rambling about what Obama did to you today. And I'm like, no, man, that's hacking at the branches. Let's strike at the root, which is that people have let themselves have leaders and kings and tyrants who push them around. And it's not a matter of trying to make those leaders and tyrants be more like human beings because they're not. They're like robots that are sent here from from another dimension to rule and destroy and kill and steal. Not really from another dimension, but go ahead.
And eventually they'll show us their cookbook, How to Serve Humans.
That's a Simpsons reference, isn't it?
No, it's actually Twilight Zone.
It's a Simpsons Halloween episode, which are often based on Twilight Zones. So we're not going to hack away at the branches. We're going to hack at the root, which is just kind of pointing out that the whole thing is immoral. You can't make government honest. That's like saying, especially by becoming involved, that's like saying, I don't like the mafia. I'm going to become involved and make them a municipal outreach group that just gives cookies to orphans.
Yeah. Community outreach. They could hook up with Obama on that.
Yeah. So you're in school again as an adult. What's going on?
Yeah, I am.
And you have purple hair.
I have purple hair. Yes.
You let one of the other gals do something on your is that how it works? Y'all do each other's hair there?
No. Well, I mean, it's not at work. I mean, I'm not working in a salon yet. I actually applied for a part time job just while I'm in school. But now that I'm in school again and I'm feeling all like, I don't know, rebellious or something, I decided to change my hair color. First of all, I was blonde and now I'm a redhead and, not born that way or anything, whatever. But, and I added some purple in there and I'm definitely enjoying it. It's making me kind of feel like a rock star, even though I'm not.
Yeah, you look pretty good. I think we're going to use the picture of you and your beau, Christian, as the Valentine's Day, the happy VD picture.
The happy VD picture.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, so I'm in school again, and I'm actually really enjoying it. For all the bad things about school, that's one place where I have always excelled. So I'm learning how to do facials and soon I'll learn how to wax and all kinds of things like that. So
you know, you're actually learning skills that are useful to society. And unlike a lot of skills that are dependent on the power grid and the structure of society and the collective hallucination of the state, they would actually be useful in a zombie apocalypse at some point, because I think at some point people would get sick of, you know, fight or flight, kill or be killed, run or hide with the zombies or with the other people who are acting like zombies. And, you know, they'd be hunkered down for a minute and they'd be like, you know, I wish my hair looked, I miss going to the beauty salon. And you could walk around with a shotgun and a katan and, you know, trade hairstylings for food.
Right. Yeah. Hairstylings. And actually, it already looks like that the characters on The Walking Dead have that taken care of. I mean, they all look so, I mean, they look a little like, you know, grungy, but they look grungy in a sexy way.
Well, that's you Hollywood.
Know, but all the women's, the skin, everybody's skin is glowing and all this other stuff. I'm like, yeah, nobody would look like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably true.
Anyway, so they're already making use of it somewhere.
that's a problem with movies in Hollywood, and you know, people are in things that, like, tussles and fights and being away from running water and all sorts of the kind of
soap.
Trauma.
Soap.
Yeah, and they look great. You know, they look a little tousled, like someone. They look like someone put their hand on their head and went, and that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Right.
Did you see the new Walking Dead?
Wait, there's a new one?
Yeah, you're like
started
okay.
Back up again?
You're like, I gotta go find someone else to finish this hour.
Exactly.
I'm gonna go watch it on the torrents. Yeah, it's starting back up.
Oh my God, I can't believe that. Okay, so yeah, so don't tell me, don't spoil it.
Last week,
I don't have cable, so I have no idea what's going on.
Well, you have an internet cable, you can know what's going on.
That's true.
But you know what else debuted? Yeah. And it debuted right, or it wasn't just coming back, it was new. And there are two episodes of it. They put two out in the first 2 days. Is Better Call Saul?
Oh my gosh!
And it's
so that's out too.
It's surprisingly good. I'm kind of. I thought it was going to be pretty lame, but it's no Breaking Bad. But it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if Breaking Bad was really Breaking Bad in the beginning either. Like, I think it took a little to get used to.
Really?
It, you
because
know,
the first episode, I was hooked from like 10 minutes into it.
Yeah, I mean, but it got better. You know how it just kind of got better over time? So
I think at some point it jumped the meth shark. I'm not really sure, but I watched them all. I watched every episode of it all the way through probably 4 times.
Oh, wow. I haven't even done that.
Have you seen Black Mirror?
I better get with it.
You guys seen Black Mirror?
Oh, my gosh. I was going to ask you about that. I love that. I've seen all 6 episodes that are on Netflix.
Yep.
It's amazing.
You know,
Twilight Zone.
It's like, it is very much like Twilight Zone for the millennium or the post-millennium.
Yeah. The very last episode, have you seen all of them?
Yeah.
Okay, the very last episode, which is the Waldo moment, I think. Was my favorite by far.
Is that the one about the person?
The blue bear.
Oh yes, yes.
Waldo the bear.
That was my favorite too, and it was in many ways the least creepy and the most possible. Mm-hmm. Like, there were other ones that a lot of them were like not too distant future technology or society is organized a lot different, but the Waldo one, as far as I recall, literally could happen today. You know, there's nothing in it that couldn't happen today or wouldn't happen today.
Yeah. I mean, I would even go so far as to say that it happens maybe on a much smaller scale. Like, for instance, Brazil, how they had all the different candidates and everything, that anybody can basically run for office in Brazil. But everybody has to also vote. So
has to vote. Yeah. That's funny.
They have to vote. So anybody can run.
Well, that was kind of like
Superman can run.
That was kind of like that runoff election in California where they recalled, I don't know, I think it's the guy who's back in now. And they had like the one where Schwarzenegger won, but they had like porn stars running and like Gary Coleman ran and the Waldo one, you know, that one definitely, and several of them, including the one about the game show and the pedaling on the bikes, are kind of homages to the movie Network. You ever seen Network?
Yep.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not gonna take it anymore.
Okay. You know what? I have to admit that that is one I have not seen, and it's going on my list right now before I forget.
It's but a classic.
I definitely want to see
it's
that.
It's a classic 70s. It's from that really great era of filmmaking of the 70s that kind of I don't know if it started with Easy Rider, but Easy Rider was kind of one of the it was basically the era that kind of led filmmaking and good TV to be like they are now, which was basically the studios got out of the studio system control that they had from, you know, the 30s through the 60s where like
– Right.
I mean basically they
the
almost –
McCarthy era.
Well, not just the censorship but also the – maybe the kind of like they almost practically owned – the talent, like, you know, they had the actors, like the actors only worked for one studio, the writers only worked for one studio. And from a variety of reasons, that kind of got broken up by the early 70s. And all of a sudden, it was kind of the beginning of like big budget independent filmmaking, I guess I'd say, where like, you know, people moved around from studio to studio, they had more freedom, they made movies that had lower budgets and took more chances. Easy Rider is the classic example of that, but a lot of great stuff came out of that. And things became less star-driven and more story-driven.
Right.
That was the big change there. But yeah, man.
Actually, the movie with – I mean, not the movie, but the show with the game show and all of that, that reminded me a lot of what was that one movie that was done by George Lucas? That early one.
Oh, T4X. It's like a number.
Yeah. It reminded me of that one a lot.
Yeah. Actually. Which I think was like, you know, a student film or something that didn't get released until after Star Wars, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I had never heard of it until you told me about it.
Yep. Hey, I've found a new vape company I really like.
Okay.
Crypto Vape. It's Crypto Vape.
Oh, wow.
CryptoVape.net. And I don't usually do like, and you know, like that kind of like, hey, advertisement. But I really love this company's stuff, and they're inexpensive, and they take Bitcoin, and they love Bitcoin,
cool.
And it's CryptoVape.net.
Nice. Okay, I'm looking them up right now.
Yep. Yeah. So Barack Obama is a liar. He is a socialist, and his feet stink.
Oh, I know what he can't do. He can't throw a baseball.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what's going on. Like, I started seeing Brian Williams the last couple of days all over in my feed, and I didn't know why.
Oh, yeah.
But I assumed it. I was like, okay, he's a pundit. He probably lied. Because that's the same. I mean, I remember that stuff happening in the 70s. It's not new, man.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back after this trip to the free market.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
So, Diana,
I've missed being on a lot.
I know, man. You haven't been on since like 2 months or something, I think, on the Freedom Fiends.
That long? Really? Wow.
Yeah. And if people don't know, the Freedom Fiends is a radio show, because you're probably listening on the radio, but it's a radio show that is not like all the other radio shows. We are, everybody on radio talks about liberty and freedom and talks about why we need smaller government. And then sometimes they'll get really bold and say things like, I want government so small I could drown it in the bathtub. And which is actually quoting this guy named Grover Norquist, who I kind of like him as far as small government Republicans mm-hmm. go, because he kind of really sticks to his thing. But he's not a politician, so he really doesn't have anything to stick to. But he actually got almost every Republican in Congress to sign a pledge at one point to not raise taxes. And they all raised it. It was when the Tea Party was big, you know, probably four years ago, five years ago. And they all signed it. And they were all sounding like anarchists. And that sounds like an anarchist thing to say. And I don't mean a whiskered bomb throwing anarchist. I mean someone who just believes in no government. It sounded really anarchist. And Republicans, when they're running for office, ever since the Tea Party thing, really ever since Barry Goldwater, but it had a resurgence. Ronald Reagan sounded like an anarchist. You know, he said things like he said things like, you know, the scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." And he said that. You know, government is like the elementary canal of an infant, you know, uncontrollable at one end, uncontrollable appetite at one end, and just, you know, whatever the other end of, you know, just all like foul things about government.
Stuff comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. No control at the other end, I think it was. And, you know, Republicans love to sound like anarchists. They love to sound like small government people. They really mm-hmm. aren't. And almost every single one of those Republicans that signed Grover Norquist's pledge, like, literally broke their pledge within 3 months. And all of them broke it within 6 months. And they all say, mm-hmm. the thing
but
is,
it's okay,
like,
because it's for our own good, right?
It's not consistent when people say things like that. Like, well, yeah, I signed that and I still feel that way. But this one time, that's not consistent.
Right, exactly.
And that's how all politicians are. Now, Grover Norquist, this is kind of funny. The Freedom Fiends, the show you're listening to, is so small government that we make Grover Norquist look like FDR. And we want government so small it's only theorized about by particle physicists.
That's the first thing. Yeah, I love that one. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's Davy Barker's thing. The other thing is my thing. I tweeted both of those things, and Grover Norquist actually retweeted both of them.
Which
I kind of liked. And
yeah.
So he's a fan of the Fiends. Mm-hmm. At least we've kind of outdone him in his own game. But it's not a game for us. We actually believe that all government is immoral, that you know, people don't need kings and tyrants. We believe in self-defense. We believe in keeping everything you make, all the money you earn. We do not believe that the innocent or the infirm or the very young or the very old would starve in the absence of government regulatory and policing bodies.
Because every situation that I've seen, for the most part, where people kind of were called to help each other in certain situations, they did it, and without any government involvement whatsoever. You know, if anything, you know, any government interference just made things worse. And as a matter of fact, this reminds me a lot of what happened to me the other day. I was picking up Christian from the airport, and I had stopped of my own accord to let some other cars go in front of me. Well, a cop saw, I don't know, I guess he thought I was going to go without him, like, putting his little, like, hand up to keep me from going anywhere. So he comes and stands in front of my car, and I'm going, I was going to, like, sit here anyway and let these other cars go. I don't need you.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's just, you know, it's like, I think, I don't know, my experience is that most people are going to help each other out.
Yep.
You know, and the ones that don't, I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're kind of like going to, you know, they're going to fall with the survival of the fittest. So, you know.
Yeah. As Bill Butte, you know, it would be kind of messy for 2 or 3 days. But after that, it would be much nicer all the time, I think.
Yeah.
It's not to say that a libertarian paradise would be a kumbaya, everyone holds hands. It would probably be a little noisier in a lot of places than things are now. But I'd trade a little less quiet for a lot less government. We'll be back in the Freedom Fiends. Talk about relationships. And no, we don't take calls. We lead by example. That's how we solve your problems if you have problems. We don't want to talk to people.
Freedom. Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. CryptoVape.net is a new company that sells tasty nicotine vape for Bitcoin. I've tried it. It's really good stuff, and they love Bitcoin. They have quality vape and a bunch of tasty flavors. CryptoVape.net. CryptoVape.net is a liberty-loving company, and if you mention the Freedom Fiends, they'll send you something cool with your order, free. CryptoVape.net. Great vapes, great price, and they love Bitcoin. CryptoVape.net. That's CryptoVape.net. It's Freedom Fiends. So I was talking before the break. I'm Michael W. Dean. I was talking before the break with Diana Kyler about about what the Freedom Fiends is. And this show is a little different than all other shows except one, which is Free Talk Live. They're the only other show that believes in government so small that it's theorized about by particle physicists. And I think we might actually be more small government than them because they tend to like run for office in a defensive capacity, like, you know, right, as activism, which I salute them for doing it. It's a tough, dirty job. And, you know, I don't think they expect to win all the time, but they do it as activism on a local level to get conversations going. But I wouldn't do that, and I really don't think any Freedom Fiends would do that. So I'm not saying we're better. I'm just saying we're different. So I think we're the only show on radio syndicated in America on many stations that is like that. But another way that makes us different from most, if not all, shows anywhere, including podcasts. There might be some podcasts like this, but I don't think there are any radio shows like this where there's one main host, and that's me, and then there are like a dozen co-hosts, one or two at a time, and they rotate. That's what it meant when Diana said, "Wow, I haven't been on in a long time." You know, the show's been on every day, 7 days a week, but and it's day times on the weekend and night times during the week. And if it's only on weekends in your town, go call your local station and please politely ask them if you like it to put it on 7 days a week. We're on at nights, Monday through Friday, from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. East Coast time. You can go to freedomfiends.com and hear every episode. There's also a streaming link of all 600 some episodes we've done and a lot of other stuff we've done, some side interviews and some music and whole bunch of neat little skits. You'll probably hear some in the ads here. So we're going to talk about relationships since it is Happy VD, Happy Valentine's Day. And Diana is there with her beau, Christian. Is he there?
Yep, Christian's here.
Can you poke him? So you have...
Say hi, Christian.
Worms. Hi.
Nice. He's a little loud. Get him up, back off the mic a little bit, please. This is a teaching hospital, too. That's the other thing is all the co-hosts are in different locations. They're not all in the same room. And we actually worked with a computer programmer to invent FiendPhone, which is the software we're talking over. It's free. You can go to FiendPhone. Go to FiendPhone.com and download it and try it out. And, you know, even if you just do calls with other people with headphones, you can sound like you're in the same room. You don't have the problems you have with old phone, which is what we call telephone. You know, I came up with Drew Phillips came up with that line.
Old phone
is any way of communicating other than fiend phone, because they're all old and don't sound as good. But I came up with a good one the other day for any money that's not Bitcoin. I call it old coin.
Old coin?
Yeah, because I was sending someone money and like, you know, I sent part of it in Bitcoin and the rest of it in cash. And it was like they had the Bitcoin in like 90 seconds. And they had the PayPal money in like 3 days. And I was like, man, old coin is slow.
It's really slow.
Yep. So,
yeah, Bitcoin's awesome.
Yep. So your beau is there. He doesn't have headphones on. You're cheek to cheek. So you have a beau. You have a man. You have a, what are your other pets? You have a,
I have a man and I have a beagle and I have a cat and a rabbit.
Yep. And I'm not saying that in a way of like, you know, you don't live
quite the menagerie.
You don't live with your boot on his neck. We're not saying like he's below you or anything.
No, not at all.
He's a pet. He's furry and cute and manly and wonderful.
He's my pet and I'm his pet too.
That's what I meant. There you go.
All I gotta say is that I am the only male in the whole household.
That's true.
Man. I'm almost the only
But everybody else is spayed but me.
I'm spayed. I'm almost the only male in the house. It's my wife and I and a female cat and a male cat that might as well be female or sexless. Like there's nothing manly about Peanut at all.
Aw, Peanut.
Peanut.
Aw.
Okay, so.
Peanut, be a man.
Be a man about it, Peanut. All right, so so hit your cuss dump. I mean, your buff dump, and then tell me a bit about love and your relationship and how to make a relationship work.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm certainly no expert. I was married actually for 15 years and am divorced now.
I think that can make you an expert, though.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what to do wrong as well as what to do right.
Oh. Gosh, yes. Definitely know what to do wrong, and I certainly try to avoid that now. And Christian's kind of in the same boat as me, right, Christian? You know, he's
married 16 years, separated now 2 years.
I thought divorce
is not even legal yet.
I thought he was going to say married.
So much paperwork. The state makes it really hard to separate from someone, at least in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, it does definitely. You have to wait a year.
I thought he was going
to
say married 16 times.
No, 16 years. He said he thought you said 16 times. Oh my gosh, that would be crazy.
No,
I don't think we'd be together.
That would be a chronic issue.
Okay, so tell me more.
Okay, so we met and, you know, we were both kind of in the middle and like really in the very beginning of you know, our separations from our relative spouses. And, you know, we kind of like, you know, our relationship has had lots of ups and downs and, you know, we're definitely in an upswing at this point. You know, and a lot of what we had gone, that's Christian swinging.
They could hear that? Oh, sorry.
No, we're not swinging like swinging, not in the biblical sense, but you know what I mean?
Wait, yeah. Swinging is not a phrase in the Bible. You mean you're not swingers. Okay. You're not swapping.
Right,
people.
Right. Yeah.
You said in the biblical sense. That's funny.
I think that's what people would say when they're talking about something that's not quite like, I don't know.
In North Carolina, they say, I don't swing in the biblical sense. That's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, we had some things to work through in the beginning and we were both really patient with each other. And, a lot of relationships to me is work. But one of the things I've learned after meeting Christian is like 80% of it has to be being compatible with your partner from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're not
just in the biblical sense, but in the sense of like... You want to spend time with them, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying that I didn't want to spend time with my ex, but there were just a lot of things that went on in the beginning of our relationship that I just did not pay attention to. There were red flags that I ignored on purpose because I had kind of other agendas that I wasn't even really fully aware of at the time. You know, I was single. I was a single parent, and I really wanted a stable life, particularly for my child. And, you know, I met my ex and he kind of fit that bill. Like he was, you know, very willing to kind of take on the fatherly role to my daughter. But there were lots of other things in terms of our relationship with each other that really probably should have sent me going in an opposite direction. But, I mean, I'm not saying I regret that marriage at all. I mean, he was definitely like, I mean, we both did the best we could. We were not abusive to each other, not in the biblical sense. But, you know, we were, you know, we tried the best we could. You know, I just think from the very beginning, we were not really meant to be.
Well, you did the best you could with what
with what we had.
With what God brung you, yeah.
Right, exactly. With what we had, and you know, I was really immature and everything when we first got married, and so was he probably. And I don't know. There was just we kind of created a whole lot of baggage between us, and you know, there was a lot of lack of communication or like constructive communication. And you know, it's like I know it sounds really trite and cliche, but communication is really probably the second most important thing, starting with compatibility and chemistry and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you got to be able to communicate, and you got to be able to be honest and be able to put yourself out there without fear of, you know, being, you know, beat up on for like maybe some yucky feelings that you might have or whatever, or, you know, and to ask for what you want and not necessarily have expectations that you're going to get it, but like, you know, at least let the other person know where you're coming from. And I also think that there's a lot where we Chris and I were watching this animal show earlier, and one of the things about a healthy, I guess, environment or a healthy ecology for animal, for wildlife to be kind of healthy and to be diverse and everything is tension. And, you know, it talked about like when you introduce a predator into an environment that hadn't been there in a really long time, for instance, the Yellowstone wolves, you know, they introduced the wolves to that environment after not having been there for a really long time. Well, lo and behold, all of a sudden the elk population just exploded. And so it was just like, you know, just bringing these predators in for some reason had this impact on the elk. And it just, what it did was just, was it made the elk, I was going to say flock, herd, healthy, you know, it made them healthy. And I think why? A little bit of tension, a little bit.
Did the wolves eat the other predators of the elk?
Naturally, obviously the elk had to be stronger.
This is in my state.
Wolves.
This is in my state, and I don't even know. I've seen like things recently about Yellowstone wolves here in Wyoming in my Twitter feeds lately. But there's so much news and so many things people want to care about and want me to care about. And
right,
I also get I get 30 emails a week, probably more than that if you count like Facebook things too. Which is all they are is like people I've never heard of or maybe heard of or maybe talked with once sending me a link, usually with no description, that says, you must read this. You must look at this. You must listen to this. You must watch this. They're not trolls. They're just like, oh, well, this guy does a radio show. He needs to – he'll talk about whatever this important thing is to me.
Oh, okay. I see.
Or just, you know, they're trying to share something to be cool. But it's kind of like – I've been getting kind of spiny about it. Like, I'm to the point where I'm just like, my reply is generally, I'm a busy guy. My fee is $75 per hour paid in advance if you want me to look at something and give you an opinion on it.
And I bet you don't hear from them again, right?
No. I'm really bad at playing the game of popularity, you know? I don't do it. I don't want to – I just say what's on my mind, and not in a way that's, like, attractive to people either. I just don't care, man. I'm the old man going, get off my lawn, you gosh darn kids.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, I mean, the whole point I was trying to make about the wolves and the elk and all that kind of stuff is that when you have tension in an environment, whether it's, like, a relationship or even the market – It just makes everything healthier. You have competition. You have healthy fear. It
turns up the heat.
You know, like, it turns up the heat, exactly. So,
gives it
anyway,
energy.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah, energy.
Here's the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
All biblical. All biblical, all the time. Freedom Fiends, all biblical love, all the time.
Wow.
You have a good...
Meow, meow.
You have a good Christian relationship there, don't you, Diana?
I don't know that I would call it that. Yeah, I mean, his name is Christian, yeah. But and I adhere to the Christian philosophy, but he's not a Christian. So
okay, so poke Christian and ask him about to talk with you about the secrets of a happy relationship.
Christian, I'm poking you. What are the secrets to a happy relationship?
The secrets to a happy relationship. That's a big question, isn't it?
Yes,
a lot
is.
Of people are looking for it.
Tell them to speak up, son.
My secret, having been in a 16-year-old marriage that actually...
Wait, you know, you were not married to a 16-year-old.
Into. so I'm no, not sure
he
if
wasn't,
I had
he
any
wasn't married
secret.
To a... You weren't married to a 16-year-old.
You're married for 16
years. I was married for 16 years.
Okay.
And that didn't work out. So I guess I learned a bit from that. But I think... The two things, so you mentioned communication earlier, I think that probably would be my number one thing. If there's something that's bothering you early on and you're not able to talk about it in the first year.
It just builds up.
Then guess what? In year 16, that's going to be a big issue and you're not going to be able to talk about it either. Right. And it's going to break you up.
Yeah.
But beyond communication, respect for the other person as a human being.
As a human being separate from you.
Yeah. I mean, yes, we are one. Yes, we are a couple and marriage and all that good stuff. But, you know, this is another person, you know, and you have to respect their intelligence, their independence, their autonomy, their opinions, the fact that they have a different view on life. Mm-hmm. And if you're not able to deal with someone else's different view on life than yours, then you're not respecting them. And that's also going to spell doom at some point.
Yeah, I know that in the beginning when you found out that I was a Christian, you were really concerned about that, weren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an atheist who drinks alcohol every day.
Well, yeah, I never had. Oh, yeah, that's right. You thought that I would have an issue with the drinking,
too.
Oh,
my gosh, yes, of course.
Because I don't drink alcohol, so.
Yeah, so I'm going on with a believer who does not drink.
A teetotaling Christian over here.
No, for sure. I thought those things were going to break us up. I mean, you know, I was attracted to you and all that, and I thought, yeah, this is fun.
And I had no concerns about that whatsoever. Like, neither one of those things bothered me in the least. It was so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, even the fact that you were an atheist, like, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm just sort of a different kind of Christian than a lot of Christians.
But to me on both those points though, you had to be the one that's more understanding.
Really?
You know, maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. Some atheists can be pretty hardcore, anti,
whatever. You never
really
were
care.
Like that with
no,
me.
No, I'm not. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, you have to tolerate my drinking.
Yeah, well, it's so funny because you bring alcohol into the house, and you know my daughter drinks. She's 23, so she drinks, and you know she'll come over here, and Christian won't be here, and I'll offer her something to drink, you know, and I'll have no clue what's even in the house, like none whatsoever. And it just so happens I think we have like all three forms of alcohol here, like we have beer, wine, and liquor.
Moonshine.
Oh, no moonshine.
No moonshine.
I don't think we have moonshine. But yeah, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's tolerance.
And we've been,
right?
We've
whichever
been,
way we're talking right. about, you know, we're respecting one another's boundaries. You know, we're different. We accept our differences. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem with the difference, then you need to talk about it. And if you don't have a problem and you're willing to accept it, then you really need to do so and be honest with yourself.
Right.
Because if you're not honest with yourself again, 10 years down the road, you're going to be upset that, you know, she never replaces the toilet paper roll or whatever it is that people get upset about. But, you know,
yeah, silly things like
you
that.
You never replace the toilet paper
roll. I don't.
No, I think you're afraid to go where we put the toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that area.
It's like that dark,
area.
You know, on
it's,
top of the water
like,
heater.
It's like the scary basement, but it's in an apartment. And it's just the water. It's like the closet where the water heater is, and it's like gross in there. I don't
she
like it.
She never replaces the toilet paper.
That is not true. When you're not here, I have to.
Well, there you go. Now I know you can.
but yeah, I remember like one of the things in the beginning, kind of before we got it together with each other, that we were having to be really kind of almost brutally honest with each other about our, you know, kind of still being torn about the relationships that we had left.
Oh,
you know, still having kind of like this, oh, did I do everything I could do and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think you had it more than I had because I had gone a year pretty much already knowing, already having one foot out the door and ready to go. And yours was a little more kind of sudden, at least where your ex was concerned.
I think
mine kind of knew it was coming.
If I'm to imagine myself a relationship psychologist or something like this, which I don't really believe in, but anyway, I would say that that, you know, that phase where, you know, I had just recently separated from, you know, the 16-year-old marriage. And that was really hard for me. I was really tormented.
The marriage of 16 years.
Psychologists would say this was
the marriage of 16 years. Yeah. Not the 16-year-old marriage.
Welcome and tell them we're going to break. We're going to break here. And this is the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back for hour two of the Valentine's Day musical extravaganza on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center, through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Live Bear 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. I'm your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, and our co-host today is Ms. Diana Mrs. I don't know what you're calling yourself these days, but Diana Kyler. And she,
it's
are you
just
there?
Diana Kyler.
It's yeah,
good.
It's
I'm
Diana.
Yeah.
And you're there with Christian, your boyfriend.
Yes.
Your beau.
Christian.
Yep.
Christian Fiend.
Yeah. Christian Fiend. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people have been changing their last names on the internet.
I did that.
To,
yeah. I did that to Kyler Fiend.
Kyler Fiend. Yeah. Like some variation of Fiend, like Fiend. Fiend means it's F E E N. And if you don't know, it's kind of slang for fiend, kind of street speak for fiend, or how a little kid would say fiend. And we are fiends for
We're
freedom.
Fiends.
We're fiends. Yeah. Now, a lot of people change their last name on the internet to Freeman. That's a pretty common last name. And it's the idea is like, you know, I have no masters. I am my own.
I'm a free man.
Yeah. Which was a name.
I'm a free woman.
Which was a name that was given to and adopted by a lot of recently freed slaves after the end of slavery.
Of organized slavery.
Total slavery for some. Mm-hmm. Instead of soft slavery for all, which is what we have now. So there's a lot of people who are into freedom who use the last name Freeman, and I think it's really dated and overused, and it's also like instantly authorities will track you and follow you if you change your last name to Freeman. I think people should change their name to Fiend or Fiendman or some variation of Fiend because – and people have been doing this. And the thing I heard one guy say that I really liked was if you change your last name to Freeman, it means you want to be free. But it's kind of selfish. It's if you change your name to Fiendman, it means you want everyone to be free.
Everyone to be free.
Yeah,
I like that.
So you feeling free, Diana?
I dig that. I'm actually feeling pretty free. I'm not feeling the presence of the government right now. But,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's hard to forget that Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he can't throw a baseball.
Why do you keep saying that? I don't know what that means.
Because he can't.
I know he can't dance. We did a – now, if you want to hear something funny – and good. Google the video Obama's Feet Stink. It's a video, a music video that Nima Vidadi and Rich Black, a rapper, two rappers, friends of mine, made with me. I did some music on it and sang back up and produced it. Obama's Feet Stink. The coolest thing about that is that it has a sample of my 93-year-old dad. And Every episode of the Freedom Fiends, we quote my 93-year-old dad because we interviewed him one time. We did a whole show with my dad, and you know he's a small government guy. He's like appalled that I don't vote. When I told him I don't vote anymore, he was visiting here, and he literally like sat down on the couch and looked crestfallen, like he couldn't stand. Like you know, if I told him I was gay, it would have bothered him far less than when I told him that I don't vote. You know, it was like it slayed him because he believes this lie that you're taught in school and taught by society that your vote actually counts and you actually have a choice,
right.
And that it's actually ethical for 51% to rule over 49%.
Yeah. And I would imagine that's a hard pill to swallow when you're 93 years old.
But, you know, we agree on a lot. I mean, he was here and, like, we went out shooting. It was fun. And, you know, I mean, it was cold. It was in the winter. And it was a couple years ago. And he did great, man. We went shooting and he, you know, I was like using all sorts of weapons. I was like, you want to try this AK-47? And he's like, I don't know. That looks like a scary gun of war, you know, which is funny because the guy like, you know, loves the Second Amendment, but he doesn't want to own a gun or even hold a gun that looks like a gun of war. And I think that's kind of the whole point of the Second Amendment is to have the same things the government has.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he actually fired my Mosin Nagant once, that's a gun, literally a gun of war. Like the Mosin I have was actually used in World War II to kill Nazis. But that didn't matter.
Magic come across that.
Doesn't everyone have one of those? I mean, that's like having a shovel in snowy weather to me. You don't have a Mosin Nagant? It's really not a home without a Mosin Nagant. I mean, they're like $150 and they can, you know, take a deer at 900 yards and the ammo is 25 cents each for the surplus Cold War stuff. But, but he didn't mind shooting that because it looked like a grandpa's gun. You know, it has wood furniture instead of being scary black steel stuff. And, but he shot it and he's kind of old and frail. And I say this like cute and sweet. And I warned him, like, really shoulder this weapon. And like he fired it once and he was like, okay, he hands it back to me.
It
didn't dislocate him. He didn't go to the hospital or anything, but he was just like, and then he spent the day, like an hour and a half, you know, that's the day when you're 93 out in the cold and fired my 22 and we just put up a paper target. He sat at one of the stands and used my scope 22 and he put, he was shooting in a 1-inch circle on a target at 25 yards and he put 80% of them in the 1-inch circle. That's pretty damn good for a 93-year-old guy that's actually never shot a scoped weapon in his life. He has scope, he has, you know, iron sight 22s, shoots them all the time. After he got used to the reticle, he was like, and the parallaxing, he did really well. I mean, that's like, you know, that's like he could go join the army right now, except that he's 93. So, you know, I mean, that's passing the army qualifying test.
Yeah, he could be the next American sniper.
Ew, man. you know, Dirty Harry really should have stopped after that film, Gran Torino. Did you see that film?
Yeah, that was really good.
It was amazing. He should have just stopped.
Yeah.
I would have respected him the rest of my life, but...
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen American Sniper and, you know, kind of refuse. I mean, I've heard various opinions about it. I've heard some that say that it shows how horrible war is, and that should in and of itself make you anti-war. But then I've heard so many people just, you know, singing its praises.
Well,
you know,
that's the thing, you know, about America. War movies. War movies are generally kind of like people who like war and people who hate war can sit in the same movie and enjoy it. Because
have you seen it?
No. It's kind of weird that I'm judging a book by its cover and criticizing a movie I haven't seen, but I know that movie without seeing it. I know what it's about and I know the story of it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's this is the kind of stuff that gets you hate mail. You know, I'm not denigrating that guy. I'm denigrating the whole system. I'm denigrating the whole system of praising and worshiping someone whose job is to go kill people on a list that they're told to kill that they don't know anything about.
Right.
You know, I'm all for self-defense. I'm not a pacifist. I carry a gun. I think that every war the United States has been involved in since World War II has been immoral, undeclared, unethical, and just lining the coffers of Wall Street and keeping the sheep strong as a manipulatable unit. Like, here's the thing. I don't see how you can be small government and still say, we need to increase military spending so we can go over there and control the Middle East. Like, the reason the Middle East is a problem is because of Western intervention.
Exactly.
The reason the Middle East is a problem is because America and the UK have been over there since World War I bossing them around. So I'm not praising any action of violence that comes from anyone in the Middle East, but to wrap your head around some of it, like take out the religious component of it. It's mm-hmm. Red Dawn, okay? If people from another country jumped into your town, walked around like soldiers, went into people's houses, searching them like they own the place, mm-hmm. you know, would you say, oh, well, they're a great country, I'm going to just do what they say? No. If you're the average small government Republican constitutionalist Second Amendment person who's not all talk, and most of them are, but if you're one of the few ones who actually isn't, you'd be out there being a sniper in your town, man, because it's a foreign intervention. It's Red Dawn. And America has been doing that since World War One, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people have a very hard time seeing it from the other side. You know, I mean, what if it was us, you know? And,
actually,
and how would we respond?
There's actually a really good...
the U.S., not us.
There's a really good inkling of it, actually. And that puts it into total perspective that I think small government constitutionalists can dig. Okay, Red Dawn, the remake. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that.
Okay, in Red Dawn, the original one, there's like, you know, the older brother kind of becomes the mentor to the teenagers and helps them form this little militia to defend their town mm-hmm. against the foreign invaders. In Red Dawn, the remake, which came out a few years ago, which is pretty much the same movie except the enemy is North Korea instead of Russia and Cuba.
So, oh, I saw the interview the other day, by the way.
Yeah, so... The mentor in that one is an older brother or cousin or something who's just back from Iraq. Like he's a U.S. soldier just back from Iraq, and he's trying to train these kids how to shoot and how to, you know, act like asymmetrical warfarers, guerrilla war. He's trying to teach them guerrilla warfare, and he's basically saying, you know, when I was in Iraq, we were the good guys. Now in this situation, we have to be the bad guys. Like he's basically saying, we have to be the guys sneaking around doing stuff that isn't considered fighting fair, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we were going to talk about romance.
That's good. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you brought up fighting fair. And that was actually the next thing I was going to talk about.
Do it.
Was about how to...
For Valentine's Day. You know,
yeah. I mean, you have to learn how to fight fair. I mean, I think that was one of the downfalls of my marriage is that we didn't really fight fair.
I don't fight in my marriage.
Yeah. Christian and I don't fight either. And, you know, we've been together long enough now that if we were going to have like a big old like knockdown drag out that we would have had one already and we haven't. And, you know, whenever any kind of conflict, we just talk it through and I'm like, I didn't even know you could do that. I didn't even know that was real. You know, like I've never had a relationship like that before where you just actually sat down like two grownups and talked things through and kind of came to some sort of resolution that you could both be happy with. And that never seemed to happen in my marriage, unfortunately. And again, I think a lot of that comes down to compatibility. Wouldn't you agree, Christian?
I would agree.
Yeah. So it's like, and respect. I mean, you brought up respect earlier. And, you know, it's like when you don't fight fair, you know, you're really kind of like you're seeing that other person is like your enemy, you know, like you're not really seeing, you know, seeing the other person as someone that you're collaborating with to kind of, you know, bring a positive solution about. And so far, I mean, I haven't really seen you as like an adversarial kind of person. So
another sign.
All right. We're going to go to break. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends Valentine's Day Extravaganza musical experience.
Wow.
Wow.
Worms.
Worms. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Show starting. Yep.
All right.
Freedom Fiends. Celebrating Valentine's Day the old-fashioned way by having an unmarried couple made up of divorced people talk on Christian radio.
Right. And we're cohabitating as well, living in sin.
Are you getting married?
You
have to finish paperwork before on other ones.
Yeah, I mean,
but, you have to clear the outbox like, before you could get it. You could go after what's in the inbox, huh?
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit in respect of not any kind of like state sanctioned marriage in any way, shape, or form. Like, we don't care about that, except unless it serves our purposes in some way.
Yeah.
Since he's a Canadian citizen, it might benefit me in some way.
In that
it's kind of officially hitched.
Yeah, and it's
trying to lure me into marriage again, aren't you?
Yeah.
No.
You're trying to marry him for a Canadian green card. Boy, times have changed, man. You want to be able to leave America, huh? If it gets rough here.
If I gotta, you know, it's like I gotta make a hasty exit.
If they start drafting women, yeah.
I'm too old.
If they start drafting women up to, you know, any age. All right, right. So
tell Fitty.
Fitty. I'm fit. We're both Fitty. Are you Fitty?
I'm not Fitty yet. 48. I'm still 49.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Fitty. See, I thought you were Fitty because you say, I'm Fitty so much around the time I turned Fitty that...
Well, just because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's a Saturday Night Live skit. I'm Fitty. All right, so...
Oh, yeah, it's like she can stretch and she can kick and she's Fitty.
Yep. So tell me more about love and marriage and... I hate to use the word compromise because I don't really feel like there is compromise in our marriage, which sounds really stern and horrible, but it works both ways. It's kind of like, you know, here I'll say something about one of the secrets of a happy marriage is separate bedrooms. And that's shocking to a lot of people because it sounds like that's what old people do. No, it's like that's what sane people do who have completely different schedules. Like I'm up and work all night and my wife works 9 to 5. And if we were sharing the same room, we would be keeping each other up and driving each other nuts. And also, I kind of feel like, and I'm not saying we don't spend a lot of time in the same room or even lying together as husband and wife. We do. But, you know, it's more like, hey, come visit me in my room. But, you know, and she will come, she'll come in here and be on the computer while I'm working or, you know, we'll watch movies together. She reads books while I do things, while I do shows, reads her Kindle. But I also really feel like having your own space is important. And a lot of men do that by having a man cave, which is, you know, like somewhere they go in the house away from the wife. And I can see the need for that, but I don't really have the need for that. You know, I just shut my door because I'm doing a show. My wife just, you know, she's home and from shopping. And, you know, it's I just like having my own space. Here's the thing. I don't like to I don't want to live in a room with frilly stuff. You know, and a lot of women have frilly stuff and
like what?
I don't know. Just you can tell a woman's room when you walk in.
Okay.
And here's the thing about a lot of married couples that like fine for them, but I would never dig this. And like, you know, when I was first starting out in relationships and we were all poor and sharing one bedroom apartments, it was always kind of like this. And it's like,
That's like me and Christian.
If you walk into a woman's room, you can tell it's a woman's room generally. And I don't want to be a man whose room you walk into and you're like, this is a woman's room, but a man lives here. And it seems like a woman's personality always kind of takes over. Yeah. Like it looks more like a woman's room than a man's room. So
I don't know. Christian, do you think our room looks more like a woman's room than a man's room?
Definitely.
Really?
Absolutely.
See, I thought I was making it more sort of like androgynous.
Nope.
This is kind of funny because he can't hear me.
The only thing that looks like a man room, and I was gone for a couple of weeks. So when I came back, I had to put out my screens and my keyboards back on the table. So I think I feel a little more like,
I'm talking about... So you think the whole house is more like a woman's house as opposed to couple's house?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. I'm the one that did decorate. Look, so.
There's like, you know, the yellow pillow that fits with the gray chair over there. It's very, very, very feminine.
Oh, I don't know about, I don't think it's feminine. I just think it's stylish.
Femininely stylish.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I think our bedroom is, I don't know, maybe one or two too many stuffed animals.
Maybe that would contribute to it. Or the big D, as in Diana with flower on top of the bed. I don't see a C, you know. Not that a C is important, but there's a big D with flowers.
I like stuffed animals, and I don't sleep with them or anything. I sleep with actual cats and my wife sometimes. But we have stuffed animals in the kitchen, and we kind of use them to send messages to each other. Like, I always stick them in her purse. So there's always a little stuffed thing in her purse in the morning.
Yeah.
And then she'll put them in the coffee cup she puts out for me. Yeah, it's how we send love notes without having to write when we haven't had our coffee yet. All right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
That was beautiful. My lovely wife, DJ, has joined Diana and Christian and I. And so it's a big festival kitty pile of talking about things here on Valentine's
Day.
Kitty pile.
Love fest. It's a love fest.
So, DJ.
Not in the biblical sense.
You're the only person here of the three people. I'm the only person here of these four people who's never been married before. So, you were married once. How'd that work out for you?
I invited him to the world, and that was it. And then he did me the favor of avoiding divorce filings by dying. So,
wow!
granted, it took him 13 years to do that, but
alcohol involved.
Yes, which was the reason for the invitation. So, but. No, it was...
By invitation of the world, you mean you released him back into the wild, right?
No, I just said, there's the door, get your stuff, leave.
Were you listening to Billie Holiday when it happened?
No, I was gradually losing my mind. It was one of those things where the night before we got married, I thought, oh, this is a mistake.
That same thing happened to me, DJ. It was the night before. It was the night of. And no, it was the next day. It was like the feeling that I had was that I had woken up from getting married in a blackout and like suddenly found myself like struck married. And I was like, oh my God, what have I done? I mean, seriously, it was like the worst feeling in the world. And we went on a cruise like the next day. And I mean, I probably told him I wanted a divorce like every day we were on the cruise. It was miserable. If that's not a red flag, I don't know what is.
It was one of those things I laid there thinking, am I really going to do this? People have gone through so much trouble. I'm just being nervous. I'll
yeah,
it'll get better.
Kind of felt like that
you
too.
You didn't want to be a party yeah. pooper, so you did something you right. didn't want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I was kind of the same way. It was like so much money had been spent and so many people had been invited and all this other stuff. And I kind of ignored. So I ignored that feeling that I had. But it really came through the next day. I was just like, I felt like I had made the biggest mistake of my life.
Well, we left on our honeymoon for that. At 1 a.m. from Los Angeles International Airport. And
you're talking about your first marriage.
Yes,
right?
First marriage.
Clear.
Oh, yes. And, after having, what's the song with drinks before dinner, wine with dinner, and after dinner drinks. So my parents kind of poured us onto the plane, and we flew east. We were going to Aruba. And that was something like 15 hours travel time.
Oh, my God.
I kind of came to in Dallas after flying through a thunderstorm, hungover, thinking, oh, kill me now.
Oh,
that
kind of set the theme.
Yeah. I thought, is this how it's going to be? I guess it is. And it was. I got two wonderful children out of the deal, but that was... That's the upside, and the downside
right.
was a lot of downside.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of similar to my situation. I got a good father for my daughter.
very, very bad father.
That's in the past. That's all,
so long.
All done.
So long ago. So long ago. Coming up on 20 years almost close for me since I invited him out.
So when we were over the break, you said, oh, I heard you giving your a man's room speech. And I was like, have I given that before? Talk about the separate rooms and the man's room and the having your own space thing.
Well, frankly, I was a little put off when you first broached the idea. I'm like, what? Separate rooms? What? And... Now
don't
I love it.
Don't you love me?
It's like, this makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Especially with the difference in our schedules. We both have somewhere that we can sleep and be peaceful and do our thing without worrying about, I have to be quiet so I don't wake him up, even though he's in the same room with me and I have to go to work. And, it's like, no, he's sleeping in his room and I can blow dry my hair and not worry about it. No, it's great.
It's whatever works. It's whatever works for you. Whatever helps, your marriage to be successful. It's like, I've heard of that before. I've heard of people actually living in separate houses.
that I think would be a little extreme. My grandparents slept in separate beds. They had separate rooms all the time. As far as I know,
that was kind of the way back then for some reason, but. No, it was with my grandparents too, but I think it was also that back then more people lived in houses than apartments, so they had the option. And I think that a lot of people live in apartments now and don't have the option.
Well, my dear departed grandmother, Bertie.
Bertie, that's cute.
Bertie, yeah. Yeah, this is for a woman who was 5'11" and, could bench press several large men, but and I think that was part of the joke, but she said, your grandfather snores, I'm not going to sleep with that.
And I snore.
Well, yes, but you are a loud roaring kitty at night.
You have a kitty on your lap. Speaking of that, I wish people could hear what we see. Peanut, say hi.
Peanut never
Hi,
talks.
Peanut.
Peanut yells.
Hi,
sometimes.
Peanut. Kitty, kitty. I did have a cat on my lap. She disappeared. I don't know where she went.
Well, but. Peanut discovered, look, they're both sitting down. I'm going to go claim a lap.
Diana has a bunny, too, but Peanut is soft like a bunny. He's the softest cat in the world.
He really is. It's almost creepy. It's
Are
just
you
unnatural.
Part rabbit?
Yeah, it's, he's a Cabot.
A Cabot.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That whole stuffed animal thing that you were talking about earlier sounds really, really cute and sweet.
Leaving
and
messages
I think I definitely Yeah. And I think that just doing, even just doing little things like that for each other is, I mean, I don't know. It just means to me anyway, it means a lot. And I feel like Christian and I definitely do that for each other, you know?
Yay.
So
yeah. It started.
Yay, we're happy. We're in happy relationships.
Excellent. Yay. And I do want to say that we're getting a little bit of dropouts here and there, and it's don't blame Fiendphone, blame the internets where you are, and
yeah,
it's been getting worse. No, don't apologize for that. Yeah. Just you know, I'm trying to move everybody to having a second internet connection, and people are like, "No, I'd rather sound bad and talk on Skype." But yeah, DSL is DSL is slower, but it's far more
consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like a good marriage. Slower and more consistent. Because I've had.
Are we talking about something else now?
No, we're not talking about.
Not getting it.
We're not talking in a biblical sense here. I'm talking more. I mean, that's involved, but I'm talking more in the overall timbre of a relationship. I have, and I would assume everybody here in this call, all four of us, probably have lived lives. Well, let me just speak for myself. I have lived a life in the past that would make a rock star and a sailor blush, you know, between probably age 18 to 38. And, you know, I would probably have been voted least likely to get married by anyone who knew me throughout that period. And it's not that I settled and I settled down, but I didn't settle. And it's more like that kind of pitch cannot be sustained. You know, it'll it'll destroy you. And I'm not saying it's destructive and we need to stop its influence of this kind of lifestyle. But no, when you get the message, you hang up the phone. When you realize that it's just same book, different chapter over and over and over, you find you want, I don't even know if stability is the word. I think it's more like constancy, to use an old fashioned biblical term.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I was when I was thinking about leaving my marriage, I was kind of tired of stability at that point. Like stability was, it felt more like being in a cage at that point.
I remember you telling me you were looking for adventure.
I was looking for adventure,
and that's actually maybe something else that's important in a successful relationship: understanding what the other person wants in life, right?
Yeah.
Because to me, when I don't know what to get you as a gift, or what to do on a weekend, it doesn't have to be big adventures. It could be going to the water park or whatever.
Yeah.
And then this is a little adventure
just
between us.
Just little fun things. Like we went for a really nice walk the other day, and where it was more like a hike, because I live right on a park and it's really cool. And there's a lake and everything. It's actually really beautiful. And we just went on this really awesome walk. It was a beautiful day. It was nice and warm, and got some good exercise and got some like runner's high kind of weird endorphin thing going on, which was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
And that was nice. And then we went and had a nice dinner. We went and saw some people play music, which was pretty cool.
Very nice.
I enjoy seeing live music and just do stuff together, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you know, if that's what makes you happy. So,
but I also think it's important that, you know, when you're young and in love and everything, it's so all consuming. Everything has to be in sync. The two of you has to be identical. And
it's
always so emotion charged.
If everybody was like that all the time, humans,
it would be annoying.
After 20 years of that, humans would all be living in the dark in ditches pushing berries up their nose because nobody would go to work.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't want to live a life of emotional highs and crashing lows, and you know, I want
to get old after a while.
And, you know, happy. I don't need to be ecstatic. I want to be happy and content. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be the cat purring in front of the fire, not, you know,
not the alley cat running around the alley with all the other cats.
Yes.
Well, I kind of want to be a little bit of both. I don't know. I want to have both.
You can be both at
best
home
of both worlds.
With one person for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I don't mean roaming like an alley cat necessarily, not in the biblical sense. But I mean, you know, just like I'll like go out and have like some really like kind of adrenaline inducing times. And then come home and like chill and like be a slug on the couch and watch Netflix together.
say, well, I think I am enough older than you that I'm happy.
Oh,
with
you're
the,
not.
Yeah,
not that much.
Oh, I don't know. But, no, I, whoops. And there we go. It's time for a little step away, and we'll be back very soon, pouring more wonder into your ears.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of
it's
his weird
you.
Friends.
You're on the radio,
and
honey.
Yes, we're broadcasting yep. this into space. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This is the Redemption in the Third Act, Valentine's Day extravaganza with Diana Kyler and Christian and myself and my wife, DJ. Did you send Christian away?
Christian had to step away.
Okay. So you're going to you're gonna finish up and speak for him?
I will speak for him, and I'm sure I'll get everything exactly right.
Okay. You two gals talk about love. I'll just listen.
Ah, love. It's what makes life worth living.
Yeah.
No, you know
what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
It's the only
it's true.
Thing that there's just too little love.
Too little love.
Oh, now I sound like my parents. That was big with when I was a kid with them listening.
Yeah.
But oh, good grief. No, it I just wish, you know, in my day at work, I see people at the worst extremes of their marriages.
And yeah.
It took me a while to learn to be sympathetic without getting sucked into it.
Right.
But I do love coming home and telling Michael, I'm so glad I'm married to
I know.
You. I'm
it
not going to tell
you
about
grateful,
what happened
doesn't it?
Today, but... Just know that it's so good to be here with you.
Yeah.
And
it definitely brings a sense of gratitude for sure.
Yeah, cops always say, we meet people on the worst day of their lives. Well, that's also true of paralegals in law firms that do a lot of divorces.
Right?
And child custody.
Child, yeah, there's nothing like a custody battle to bring out the worst in people. You know, fighting over the marital money is ugly, but when you start saying,
right,
no, that person is a terrible parent, and here's why, and they,
yeah, I'm like, so glad I didn't. I'm so glad that I did not have to deal with that. There were many times that over the course of our marriage that I thought about leaving, and one of the biggest reasons I didn't was because I didn't want. Well, first of all, I wanted my daughter to grow up in an intact home. Mm-hmm. And you know, and of course the other thing is like that the whole custody thing, how much more complicated it makes it. And so, you know, I'm glad that I waited as long as I did. But I'll tell you, it was coincidental in a way that it was like she had graduated from college and I was like, okay, I'm out. See ya. Yeah.
See, I got out when mine were still very young, knowing that he was so passive that I would tell him, no, the kids are mine. End of story.
Right.
And okay. And that's pretty much what he did.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You know, and it was also, I thought, well, I can raise two kids. I can't raise three. And right now I have three.
Including him.
Yes. And him being the large and unwieldy one. But, you know, my decision was, okay, what is the best thing for these kids? And it is not to have what's going on with him happening in front of their faces.
Explain why you didn't divorce him.
Didn't divorce him. I went to an attorney, talked to him, said, here's my situation. And he said, well, what kind of job does he have? And I said, oh, intermittent. And he said, well, and I know what you do. He said, well, here's the deal. In the state of California, you know, you can apply for spousal support. He said, the chances are that you will get less from him, less consistently for child support, because by then he had gone off and created another child with someone.
Oh, wow.
And there's the end. But, you know, so I would have made less, and I said, oh, I'll just live
apart. He would have sued you for alimony.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I was about to say, yeah. I mean, and that just kind of like, yeah, if you had gone through the whole thing, it would have, that would not have been good. It
would have been ugly. So anyway. Yeah.
That's our show. And we ended on a weird note there, so we weren't watching the time. But I love you, DJ.
I love you too. Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yep. Yes. Go put a stuffed animal in his book bag or whatever.
Yes.
Surprise
him. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Worms. Thank you, Diana. Thank you,
Worms.
Christian.
Worms.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Worms.